Open your Bible with me today, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Over the course of the first few weeks of the fall, as a church, we are focusing on the theme, Every Member in Ministry. And this is the fourth message in a series of messages under that theme. Today's message is entitled Motivation for Ministry. Our scriptural text is 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. And we'll begin today with 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. I invite you to follow along as we read from the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, penned these words to the Corinthian Christians. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each man just as He determines. Now let's skip over to verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And in the church God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Do you know anyone who once actively served the Lord, but who no longer serves God? Do you? I expect you do. I know a number of people like that who once in their pilgrimage with the Lord Jesus Christ were actively involved in the life and witness and ministry of their local church. But somewhere in the course of their lifetime, they just walked away from Christian service. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered how it's possible for a man or a woman to give himself or herself wholly, wholeheartedly, enthusiastically into the service of the Lord Jesus Christ for a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years and just one day just walk away from it? Never serve God. I've thought about that. I've asked myself, how can this be, Lord? I believe there are at least two answers to that question. The first answer is that some who once actively served the Lord do so no longer because they've fallen in love with the world and they've fallen out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe a biblical character of whom that was the case was a man named Demas. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said that Demas hath forsaken me because he fell in love with this world. It was a man who was a traveling companion to the Apostle Paul in his missionary journeys. And he was obviously at one time used in the service of the kingdom of God, but he fell in love with the world. And when he fell in love with the world, he fell out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he forsook the ministry that God had given to him. And I believe that what was true of Demas is true of many today. There are some folk who once served the Lord, but they've allowed sin to creep into their lives. They've become indifferent to the things of God. They've become lukewarm. And ultimately, they become cold and hard-hearted to the things of God and to the service of God. So I think that's an answer for why some who once served the Lord do so no longer. But I believe there's a second reason, and the second reason is simply this. There are some folks who once served the Lord, but who serve Him no longer because they burned out in Christian ministry. They serve enthusiastically and wholeheartedly. They gave it their best, perhaps for many, many years. But they came to the place of spiritual burnout and fatigue, and they said, I just can't go on any longer. Now, for both of these reasons, there is an answer. For the first reason, that is that some have fallen in love with this world, the answer is very simple. It is repent and turn back to Jesus Christ. But that's not the theme of the message this morning. For the second reason why some who once served the Lord and who serve Him no longer, the answer to that is found in the subject of our sermon today. There is a cure for those who once actively served God but who serve Him no longer because they have spiritually burned out. They need to be motivated for ministry. And so today I want us to think about the motivation for ministry. And the sermon in a nutshell is basically this. A Christian who ministers according to his or her spiritual gifts will remain motivated for ministry. I want to say that again. I want you to jot this down. A Christian who ministers according to his or her spiritual gifts will remain motivated for ministry. It won't be a part-time kind of motivation. It won't be something that lasts for even a decade or more. It'll be a motivation which lasts until God calls you home to heaven or until Jesus comes for His church at the end of the age, whichever comes first. Now, this person may be tired in his service, but he'll never be tired of the service. As we think today about motivation for ministry, I want us to think about three simple truths that we need to keep in mind if we're going to be motivated to do ministry, not just for the short haul, but for the duration until Christ calls us home. The first truth is this, that we must recognize that the Lord is the source of our ministry. The second truth is that we must learn to rejoice in the ministry of others. And the third truth is that we should expect to receive satisfaction from the exercise of our ministry. Now, having just laid them out for them, let's look at them one after the other. The first simple truth that you and I need to keep in our minds, if we're going to be motivated for ministry for the long haul, is simply this, to recognize that the Lord is the source of all ministry. After all, ministry is God's, and He allows us to share in it. Now, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, we've already said earlier that a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability for Christian ministry. It's something that God imparts. It's not something that we produce, give to God, but something that God, by His Spirit, produces in us, gives to us. It is a supernatural ability for Christian ministry. And the Apostle Paul says here in chapter 12, verse 1, about these spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul saying, don't be in the dark about the spiritual gifts. Be in the light. Be in the know. Don't be an ignoramus when it comes to spiritual gifts. Now let me ask you this. Do you know what the gifts of the Spirit are? And do you know what spiritual gift or gifts the Lord has given to you? It's absolutely essential that you know about spiritual gifts and that you know what spiritual gift or gifts God has imparted to you, because the spiritual gifts that you have will determine the nature and the course and the direction of your ministry. If you choose to exercise a ministry apart from your giftedness, you won't be motivated to do it very long. And so Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. That's a command. It's not something we can just choose to pass off, and we don't particularly care to explore this. God's word is quite clear. And I would say to you, if you do not know what your spiritual gift is, you need to make it a top priority in your pilgrimage with Jesus Christ to find out as quickly as you can what your spiritual gift is. Now look in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7. Here Paul says, "But to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Understand manifestation of the Spirit just to be a phrase to talk about your spiritual gift. And the Scripture makes it clear in verse 7 that each one, each believer, each member of the body of Christ has been gifted of the Holy Spirit for ministry. Each one means no exceptions. And notice that it is a manifestation of the Spirit. The source of your giftedness is God. We must recognize that the Lord God is the source of spiritual gifts, and therefore He is the originator of all ministry. Furthermore, verse 7 tells us that spiritual gifts are to be used in ministry, not so much for personal edification, though that certainly takes place when a believer uses his gift in ministry, but if you look in the latter part of verse 7, but for the common good, that is, for the work of the body of Christ. God wants you to use the spiritual gifts He's given you to build up your brothers and your sisters in the family of faith. Now look down in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. All these referring to the gifts listed there in verses 8, 9, and 10, and we'll look at those in just a few minutes. But verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Again, we see that the Lord God is the source of spiritual gifts for ministry. And He gives them to each man just as He determines. Notice again the phrase, each one. No one's left out. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. And the spiritual gift that you have, which has been given to you by God, was determined by God. The Scripture says, just as He determines. He's sovereign. Jesus is Lord. He's the head of the church. And as head of the church, He assigns spiritual gifts and places you and me in the body of Christ according to His sovereign plan. That means that ministry is custom designed. We're not just cookie cutter stamped out by God. We are unique creations of God. And just as our physical appearances is different from others, and just as our personalities are unique and different from others, so are the spiritual gifts and gift mix which God has given to us. We each have a unique and different ministry. And while you and I may have the same spiritual gift, you will exercise yours in one way and I'll exercise mine in another. And so every one of us can say, I am uniquely gifted by God for ministry. I am custom designed by the Spirit of God for the work that God's called me to do. God determines. And God determines because God knows what's best. See, if God left it up to you and me, we'd choose what's not best for us, more than likely. We might say to the Lord, Lord, I'll have this one and this one, but none of that. But God knows what's best. And the gift that God chooses for us determines our ministry. We can trust God. Suppose there was a very wealthy man and his wife who, in the sovereign plan of God, became the parents of three young boys, triplets. And mom and dad loved these boys with all their heart. And because they were wealthy, then money was never an issue around this particular household. But suppose these boys came to high school graduation and they had good grades and they could go to any school they wanted to go to, and dad had all the money he could spend and then some. And so the father said to these boys, sons, tell you what I'm going to do. I will pay your way through college. I'll pay all your tuition, all your room and board, books, all your expenses. I'll pay the whole thing. And you can go to any school you can get in. You can study any major you want to study. But when you come to graduation, I get to choose what your career is going to be. So the boys have an interest in different areas. One has an interest in law, and so he applies to a law school. He goes to college and then goes to law school. He's accepted and goes through that process. Another has an interest in aerospace engineering, and so he applies to an engineering school and goes on to graduate school. And the other has an interest in medicine, and so he applies to medical school. And it just so happens that all three of these boys come to graduation at the same time. One graduates from law school, one graduates from graduate school in aerospace engineering, and the third graduates from medical school. But remember, their father said to them, "Now, boys, when you graduate, you let me pay the way. I get to choose what your career is going to be." And so they come to graduation day, and they get their diploma. They have a little family gathering, and the father calls them all together, and he says to the one who just graduated from medical school, "Son, I'm proud of you. You did great in medical school. And in order to show you how proud I am of you, I have made arrangements for you to be a junior partner in one of the most prestigious law firms in Washington, D.C. Then to the one who graduated from aerospace engineering school, he said, "Son, I'm proud of you. You made great, wonderful grades." And he says, "In order to show you how my gratitude for how well you've done, I've made arrangements for you to do a residency in surgery at the Mayo Clinic." And to the one who graduated first in his class in law school, the father says, "Son, I'm proud of you as well, and I've made plans for you to become a rocket scientist working for NASA down in Houston, Texas." You say, "Preacher, where do you get these stories?" I'm not sure, but that's ludicrous. For a man to have three sons and to send to those separate schools and not place them in the career where they were equipped and trained to function in a vocation. No father would do that to his sons. And God in heaven is not going to put you in the wrong slot. God has given to each one of us spiritual gifts for ministry. And if God has given you the gift to be an encourager, then He's not going to expect you to be a leader. If God has given you the gift to be a teacher, He's not going to expect you to be an encourager. If God has given you the gift of prophecy, then don't expect to have a ministry of contributing. And the point is simply this, that God who gifts us for ministry determines what our gifts are, and our ministries function according to our giftedness, but God is always the one who is the source, and we must recognize that He is the source, and He has custom designed each one of us for ministry. Now, the second truth I want us to think about today is also found in 1 Corinthians 12, and that is that we need to rejoice in the ministry of others. After we recognize that God is the source of our ministry and He determines where we fit in the body, then if we're gonna be motivated to continue and remain in ministry, we must rejoice in the ministry that God gives to other people. Look in 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4, 5, and 6. And notice these words in here, different and same, because they're found three times each. They're different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. They're different kinds of service, but the same Lord. They're different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Here we find that we don't all do the same thing. Ministry is diverse. There is unity on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the expression of ministry is diverse. Different kinds of gifts. We're going to look at the gifts in just a moment. But it's the same Holy Spirit who gives the different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of service. The way you serve God is not the way you serve God. It's not the way you serve God. It's not the way you serve God. Different kinds of service. But it's the same Lord Jesus whom we serve. Different kinds of working, but the same God. And so we see here that the body of Jesus Christ is diverse. Now, in verses 8, 9, and 10, he begins to list some of these spiritual gifts. The first one there in verse 8 is the message of wisdom. The second is the message of knowledge. Verse 9, there's the spiritual gift of faith. Also in verse 9, the spiritual gift of healing. In verse 10, the spiritual gift of miraculous powers. 10, the spiritual gift of prophecy. 10, the spiritual gift to distinguish between spirits or discernment. Verse 10, the spiritual gift of tongues. Verse 10, the spiritual gift of interpretation of tongues. Now look in verse 28, another listing of the gifts of the Spirit. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, that is, gift of the Spirit. Second, prophets, the gift of the Spirit. Third, teachers. Then workers of miracles. Then healings. Then helps. Then administration. Then tongues. Now, perhaps some of you who are newer to our church are wondering, what are all these gifts? And I don't have time in the time we have this morning to define all that. Don't have time over the course of several Sundays to do so. The first year I was pastor of this church, I spent 20 Sunday nights talking about each one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, each one individually, separately, defining them, explaining them, illustrating them, and applying them. And you can get that information from my secretary, and it's in manuscript form. You're welcome to it. But I just simply want you to see this morning that there is diversity in the body of Christ. And the gifts which are spelled out for us here in 1 Corinthians 12, they're their gifts, and Romans 12, we'll see those in a moment, and Ephesians chapter 4, just simply says to us that it's the same Spirit who is working, giving gifts to the members of the body of Christ, but we don't all do the same thing. And therefore we should rejoice in the ministry of others. Now in verses 29 and 30, 1 Corinthians 12, 29 and 30, Paul asks a series of rhetorical questions. He says here, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, you tell me what you think the answer is. I think an honest interpretation of the English text would simply be to every one of these questions, no. Everybody's not an apostle. Everybody's not a prophet. Everybody's not a teacher. Everybody doesn't work miracles. Everybody doesn't have gifts of healing. All don't have the gift of tongues, and all don't have the gift of interpretation. What to me seems to be obvious in the English text is absolutely demanded by the Greek text, because in the Greek text there's the negative particle, which requires a negative answer in every case. It just simply says that there's not one particular gift which is given to every member of the body of Christ. It also tells us that not one member in the body of Christ has every spiritual gift. Because if you, as one member of the body of Christ, had every spiritual gift, then you wouldn't need anybody else in the body of Christ. You'd be a one man or a one woman church. And so there is diversity in the body, and we need one another. And we'll talk more about this next Sunday. But I want you to see today that because there's diversity in the body of Christ, and it's part of God's plan, there's no reason for you and for me to be jealous of what somebody else does that we can't do. We ought to embrace diversity. We ought to recognize diversity. We ought to rejoice in diversity. I think the problem that some have is they come to faith in Jesus Christ, their love for the Lord is real, and here's an opportunity for service, and so they begin to function in this area for a while, and here's somebody over here, and they seem to be blessed in their service, and so this person says, you know, they're getting blessed over there, I think I'll try some of that, and they function in that ministry for a while, and they may not be gifted there, and then they look around, and somebody's just blessed over here, and so they say, I'll function over there, and so they just move from ministry to ministry to ministry because they're afraid somebody may have something they don't have. And the Lord's simply saying, find out what your gift is in the body of Christ and function according to your giftedness. So we ought to rejoice. Now there's some things that I can do you can't do. That doesn't make me better than you. Doesn't make me more spiritual than you. I may be less spiritual than you. It's just that God has given me spiritual gifts to do some things, some areas of ministry that you can't do. There's some things that you can do far better than I could ever do. Some things you can do I can't begin to do, because that's your gift. That's your ministry. That's the way God designed you and programmed you and placed you in the body of Christ. And I'm not going to try to do what God's called you to do. I just have my hands full doing what God's called me to do. And so we ought to rejoice in the diversity in the body of Christ. We don't all do the same thing, but we all do something. Now there's a final truth I want you to see in Romans chapter 12, and that is that if we're going to be motivated for ministry, and when I say motivated, I'm talking about not for a year or 2 years or 5 years. I'm talking about until Jesus calls us home. If we're going to be motivated for ministry, we should expect to receive satisfaction from our ministry. Look in Romans 12. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? You should expect to receive some satisfaction when you minister according to your giftedness. Can you imagine spending 40, 50, 60 years serving the Lord and being miserable the whole time? I don't blame folks for dropping out. They're functioning out of their giftedness. But when you function within your giftedness, you don't burn out. You may get tired. You may be so physically weary you feel like you can't put one foot in front of the other. But you're being renewed day by day in your inner being by the Holy Spirit of God as you use the gifts that God has given you for ministry. Now, look in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Paul writes, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Let me just pause here and say, that we're not to be arrogant and to think that we can do things that we've not been gifted to do. Let's just acknowledge there are things that others can do you and I can't do. On the other hand, he says, we're to think of ourselves with sober judgment. That is, we are to have a realistic assessment of our gifts. It's not an act of humility to say, oh me, oh my, I'm just a nothing, I'm a nobody, I can't do anything for God to sit on the pew. That's not humility, that's ingratitude. Because God has given us these supernatural abilities for ministry. Therefore, we are to think of ourselves with sober judgment. That is, give a realistic assessment of what you can and can't do according to what God has done in your life. Now, let's read on. Look in verse 4. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Verse 6, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us." Now, we've already seen that back in 1 Corinthians 12 about the diversity of the spiritual gifts. The same Apostle Paul who wrote to the Corinthians now writes to the Romans, and he's saying the same truth. Here he lists some of the gifts of the Spirit, and you'll find some overlap here in this listing of gifts, which overlaps with the listing of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. You'll also find some gifts listed here that are not found elsewhere. There's 7 listed here. He says, first of all, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So the third truth I want you to see here from the Romans, this Romans passage, is simply this, that you and I receive satisfaction from the exercise of the ministry that God has given to us. If I'm going to be satisfied in my ministry, I must serve in the slot that God has sovereignly chosen for me to serve. Now, I can choose to try to serve otherwise, but I won't have a sense of satisfaction in that, see. Look in verse 6 again. He says, if a man's gift is prophesying, then let him encourage. No. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say if a man's gift is prophesying, let him encourage. He says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him teach. No. He says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him prophesy. Let him use it in proportion to his faith. Whatever your gift is, that's where your ministry is. If you're going to be satisfied long-term in ministry, it is absolutely essential that you know what your giftedness is so you can function where you're gifted. And if you do that, then you'll have this, you'll, You will be fruitful in your ministry. You will sense the working of the Spirit of God in your life and through your life as you reach out to touch others in Jesus' name, using the particular gift that God has given to you. That's where you find satisfaction. Now, think about it in terms of your own desires and interests. If the Lord said to you something like this, I'll let you have whatever ministry you desire, what would you desire? That's a good indicator. It's not an infallible indicator, but that's a pretty good indicator. That's where your giftedness is. Now again, it's not an infallible indicator. But generally, if we love God with all of our hearts, He'll give us the desires of our hearts. Psalm 37:4 declares that. What do you desire to do for God? How do you desire to serve God? You say, well, I desire to teach a class of adult men. So you're given a class of adult men to teach. You're given a class of 12 adult men to teach. 4 weeks later, it's down to 3. 4 weeks after that, it's down to just you. You probably don't have the gift to teach. And just throw your desire out. Look elsewhere. That's not an infallible indicator, but it is an indicator. What brings you a sense of reward and fulfillment and gratification when you serve the Lord? That means if I come to you as pastor, one of our staff members comes to you as a staff minister and says to you, I really believe you could function in this particular area of ministry, and you don't have any sense of the leadership of God about it, the Christ-like thing for you to do is to say to the pastor, sorry, Brother Al, I hadn't heard from God about that. No. Now, if you're saying no to anything and everything and never saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, somewhere along the way, some of those no's are not in God's will. But sometimes we have to say no to what others want us to do in order to be able to say yes to God, but it is important that we do say yes to God. And some people have burned out on ministry because they are overextended in ministry. You know, I think 2 or 3 is probably enough for most folks. And what's true at the lay level is certainly true at the staff level. It was a day of great release and freedom for me when I came to the realization when I was in my mid-30s that I couldn't be everything in ministry. You know, you go to seminary and you go to Greek class and the Greek professor says, you know, you're going to be a pastor. You ought to just master the Greek New Testament. Despite the fact that I'm not very good in language. You go to Hebrew class and he says the same thing about the Old Testament. And you go to preaching class and they tell you all this stuff about preaching. You go to all these different classes, counseling class and so forth, and you come out with all these ambitions and it takes you about 10 or 12 years to realize that you don't have that many years in life to do all the things you were told to do. I remember when the breakthrough came for me, it's probably been 10 years ago now, a pastor friend called me and said, there's a great conference on counseling for pastors. Would you like to go with me to this conference? We'll go together. I said, no. I said, if you'd asked me a year ago, I probably would have said yes. Because that's a weakness in my ministry. I'm not very good at counseling. I don't have gifts in that area. And there was a time in my life when I would have gone to try to shore up my weaknesses. But I said, no. I could go to all the conferences every year till Jesus comes back and I'd still be a poor counselor. That's not my area of giftedness or strength. I want to play to my strengths and seek to function according to my giftedness. Now, what's true of the pastor is true of every layperson. Find out where God has gifted you and make yourself available to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit of God for the Spirit of God to release in your life His power for you to use those gifts in ministry. And I promise you this, when you function according to your giftedness, you will be satisfied, you'll be fulfilled, you'll be rewarded, you'll say, this is exactly where God wants me. I'm doing the thing God chose me to do. And I can keep on doing this till Jesus calls me home or comes back for his church. Now that'll motivate you, but nothing else ever will. God wants us to be motivated and available to serve Him. Let's pray together.